Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to another great episode of On the Path Season 3. We are talking about the things that matter this season, and we will not stop talking about sexual exploitation and sex trafficking. It is such a prevalent issue, and one that we need to keep addressing and making a difference in. Coming up next, we are speaking with Jessica Ortiz and Jeanette Armugan. They are from Fight for Freedom, and they're going to talk to us about what is currently going on and the state of mental health for those that are in the industry and are trying desperately to become free. I want to also share with you how you can be an agent of change and what is in your hand that you can make a difference. We are going to ignite some hearts today, guys. Available on all podcast platforms, or sign up to my YouTube channel and watch it there. We're going to change the world, y'all. I'll see you on the path.
You're listening to On the Path Podcast with Cheryl Nemhart, brought to you by Fight for Freedom, educating, empowering, and equipping community members by raising awareness and training others surrounding the issues of sex trafficking. For more information or to donate, go to fightforfreedom.ca. Follow Cheryl Nemhart on all social media platforms.
Hey guys, welcome to On the Path. I'm so excited to have you with me. Guys, today I'm speaking with people that I can honestly say are friends of mine. I know their hearts. You're going to love them. These are two powerhouses doing incredible things for Fight for Freedom. And if you don't know, now you know, as they say. Fight for Freedom is our sponsor for season 3 of On the Path. And we are so excited. We're going to be talking about a topic that needs to be addressed as much as we possibly can, and that is sexual exploitation and sexual trafficking. These guys have a heart to do incredible work in the area of freedom, and I cannot wait for you to hear their story. Would you please welcome for me Jessica Ortiz and Jeanette Armugan? Ow! Welcome to On the Path, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you guys. And you know, it's so funny. I have such great stories and great relationships with both of you. The fact that you guys work together is crazy. How long have you guys been at Fight for Freedom together?
Well, actually, we started, I believe it was the same week, if not the same day, 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago.
No way. You started on the same day. I love it. I love it. I would love to start right off the bat with just for everyone to get to know you a little bit. I think that that's where we should start. Jessica, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about your story, your life, why this topic resonates so profoundly with you, and how you ended up at Fight for Freedom.
Oh my gosh. First thing that comes to mind is falling in love with Jesus, honestly, because that's the first thing. I got born again, I think around 25. I'm now 38, so as many moons ago.
And you're 38? Wow, you look amazing.
And I started to serve in ministry doing meeting communications at my church. And then I felt like God just dropped this thing for me to do, like a film festival. And I was like, are you sure? I've never done one before, God. Like, is this what you really want for me to do? And I just felt this push to do it. So I started to do some research, go to visit other film festivals, and I thought it was going to be a Christian film festival. And I ended up just going to this social justice film festival, and I saw this film called Call and Response. And it was the first kind of exposure that I had to sex trafficking. And it was just obviously heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. And I remember there was something in my spirit that was just like, this like perfect hate for wickedness and a love for righteousness all in one ball. And I just was like, I have to do something. I can't just watch this and not do anything about it. And so I realized that God wanted me to not just show, you know, really good Christian film, but to show social justice films. And so lo and behold, TCIF 2012 was born. So TCIF is stands for Toronto Cornerstone International Film Fest. I did the first one in 2012, but you were there, Cheryl, at the Taste of TCIF. You were the first one to come and join the panel for discussion. And I knew it was so powerful. And so after just showing a bunch of films to various people who would have me, whether it be churches or schools or community centers, I actually invited Fight for Freedom to be one of our booth presenters. And so that's the first time I heard about them. I thought they were really cool, really neat. And then shortly after they presented at TCIF 2019, I went to one of their presentations at Cornerstone Church. And then I learned a lot more about what they do. And I just fell in love. I felt like, man, this is home. Like I was like, I met my people. And right. I was like, oh my gosh. And so I actually asked Mike, who's the executive director. And I asked him if he had resource for someone who I was concerned about personally, that I saw that may have had signs of sex trafficking. And so after that, I was like, I want to join the team. I just want to join the team. So that's how I kind of landed there.
I love it. And and Jeanette, how about you? What's your story and connection?
Well, I've always had a passion for social justice issues, and sex trafficking has been one of them. And so probably about 4 years ago, I was working at our church as the women's pastor, but I had been wanting to do more in terms of just like hands-on stuff. And I had been looking for stuff, just whatever organizations I could try to find where I could actually do something besides just, you know, educate yourself type of thing. And someone that I knew from church came across an advertisement for the Walk for Freedom, which is our annual fundraiser, our largest fundraiser. And it was about a week or two before the actual walk was going to happen. And so I just signed up because I found out it was a Christian organization, which was really important to me personally. So I signed up and I peppered the people there with questions about the organization, outreach, that sort of stuff, and signed up to be a volunteer. I did that for a couple of years and then just felt there was time for change in my role at church. And so I stepped back from that and resigned my position. And then one thing led to another, and I joined the staff at Fight for Freedom. And it has been the most fulfilling experience ever. I love it. Like Jessica said, I found my people. It's just been awesome.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to hear more about your heart and what you're learning, what you've been, observing in terms of what's happening in the lives of those that have been sex trafficked. But I want to ask you first about your personal life and where you're at right now. I think it's important to connect us to the viewers and the listeners. 2020 and 2021 have been a real challenging, I'd say the past 18 months has been super challenging and devastating for so many. And I know there's been a lot of disappointments and setbacks for all of us. I want to ask you guys, I ask this to everyone who's on my podcast, what are you learning or what have you learned about yourself, or what is God teaching you through this really hard season of crisis? Jess?
Yeah. But like lots, but, specifically, like keeping in touch with people or keeping in touch with the right people is so crucial. I find that people can get lost in their own headspace, as I did during this pandemic. And back in March of 2020, I was actually diagnosed with PTSD from the traumas that I experienced in my own past. And honestly, it's helped me to relate to survivors on a different level with even more compassion and empathy. And I realized that if I didn't surround myself with the right support, things could have gone downhill pretty fast, right? So 2020 was the first time I engaged in counseling, psychotherapy, that type of counseling, as well as meeting with a spiritual director regularly. And now I'm such a huge proponent of counseling. I think it's so good and healthy for everyone, whether you're experiencing a crisis or not, to get counseling, you know, and surround yourself with people who truly care about you and have your back and have your interests, and those that can speak life into you and build you up, and professionals as well, you know. So surrounding yourself with the right people.
So good. Thank you for that, Jeanette. What about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, like many introverts, I thought I would be okay. You know, they kept talking about lockdown, stay at home. And I thought, okay, I got this. You know, I've been practicing all my life. However, I realized that I need community a lot more than I thought I did. And so in the process of just not being able to, you know, go for coffee with that friend that I want to and stuff, in the process of not being able to go to the funeral of a friend who's passed away, or family members who've passed away, I've learned that in the midst of that, God is still enough for me. Mm. So even though I may not have the physical interactions with people, I still have that with God, and that has to be enough. And so just learning to just lean on Him more in those times when, you know, you would normally just call up a friend and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Or let's just meet for coffee because I just need to see you. Instead, going to God for that. And also, along with what Jessica was saying, making use of the resources that are available, talking to a counselor, having a safe space to just process some of those things, right? Has been really, really helpful.
So good. And, you know, as we're going through, imagine now, you know, all the struggles we're facing, and you talked about PTSD, Jess, those that are in the industry, those that are trying to get out, those that are being sexually exploited, everything compounds with COVID and everything compounds with quarantining and all of that. It makes everything so much worse. But Fight for Freedom is doing some really incredible work in the area of rescue, rehabilitation, education, aftercare. I'd love to know, like, how is Fight for Freedom doing this? What are some of the big things that really stand out for you about the organization, Jess, in terms of all the freedom work you guys are doing?
Well, yeah, like as a survivor care director, I get to do some case management myself and meet with survivors and conduct like thorough needs assessments, everything from like ID to clothing, to food and things like that. But then we develop support plans and we assist the survivors in meeting their goals and their aspirations. Right. So I like, that's my joy, is that I get to help out with that. But I also get to like manage and supervise a team of case managers who have come from a wide range of experiences and knowledge and background. And we get to work together. We get to collaborate. We get to figure out, you know, how can we truly meet these needs? And maybe are there other needs that they haven't even discovered yet that we can help them on their path to freedom? Right. So yeah, that's really like kind of what I'm in, but as being part of the leadership team as well, I get to help out with, you know, just having a say in what the policies and procedures and partnerships proposals should be like, and the visioning for the entire organization. It's such an incredible privilege, honestly. Yeah.
Wow. So good. So good. Jeanette, what about you?
Yeah. Similar to what Jessica was saying, being on the leadership team and being able to just vision for what does this look like now and pivot when we need to pivot. And also in my role as pastoral care director, I love that I get to just bring encouragement and spiritual guidance to survivors who just have those questions about, you know, themselves and their perspectives on God. And so just being able to walk with them through those times has been really, really fulfilling and meaningful. In addition, even though many of our outreaches had to shut down because businesses were closed because of restrictions, there was part of our ministry that did not or was not affected by that. And that's our online ministry. And so I've been able to be a part of that and be like a witness survivors coming out of that industry as a result, direct result of our online ministry. And so that has been such a huge blessing and encouragement through this journey.
I love that. And I love the word that you used. It really resonated with me. Meaningful, that you talked about meaningful work. That makes me think about this question. What is it about the work that is so meaningful for the both of you?
Okay, I'll go first. when I was younger, I had experienced some trauma as a child. And so even though it wasn't sex trafficking, trauma is trauma, but like pain is pain in a sense, right? And being able to experience the freedom that God brings to individuals that he brought to my life personally gave me hope to know that he can do this to others, right? For other people. And so just being able to be that voice of hope to other people, being able to show love to other people is really one of my favorite things, if not my favorite thing to do.
I love it. Jess, you?
Yeah. And just like finding out what survivors need and figuring out ways to get what they really need. So like, I've always enjoyed creative problem solving, even as a kid. And I'm actually reminded of the scripture. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings to search out a thing. And that's in Proverbs 25:2. And I like to play this treasure hunt game with God. It's kind of like a fun thing that I do with him, you know, as I pray and try to intercede for those that come across our services. Like, I know that he already has provision in place for his beloved, right? Like, he has provision. It's just a matter of searching it out, right? Mm-hmm. So the cool thing for me, the coolest thing for me is to witness how someone is truly touched by the love of God when they receive something that they really need, or even beyond what they, you know, thought, dreamt, or imagined that they could receive. So that's kind of the joy that I have that keeps me going.
So good. Thank you for sharing that, guys. And you know, it's funny because when I think about the sex industry as a whole, and I think when we from the outside look at sex trafficking, sexual exploitation, I would say safely that we get a lot wrong. There's a lot of misconception. There's a lot of misunderstandings about the inner workings of that industry. And I would love, in your own way, help us set the record straight today. What do we need to know about the sex industry and those that are trying to leave it? Jess, we'll start with you.
Sure. Like, we need to know really and truly how prevalent it is. Like, it's such an undercover thing still, but it really is happening under our noses. And we need to recognize those red flags. And sometimes I call them like orange flags or yellow flags. They are there, but we have to be able to spot them out. And we also have to have conversations about it, like to know how to have conversations about it with our loved ones, with our family, with our friends. Like, it should be kind of a topic that we talk around even the dinner table. And I know it's not comfortable, but I've gotten more used to it because I realize how much it's still in the dark. Yeah. So I would say that is just having more conversations about it. And also, you know, knowing the resources that are out there, like Fight for Freedom.
Beautiful, Jeanette. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say is to realize that it can happen to anybody. It can be your sister. It can be your friend. It can be your neighbor. It's just so prevalent, and people, I don't think, realize it. They tend to associate it with, oh, it happens in another country. Oh, it just happens to this demographic or this socioeconomic group. But it really is across the board. It happens to anybody. And so realizing that it's not like the movie Taken, mm-hmm. in most cases in Canada, that's not what trafficking generally looks like. Mm-hmm. Also, to remember is that those chains often are invisible. So the chains that keep someone who is being exploited or trafficked chained, in a sense, to their trafficker, those are chains are invisible, but support is really crucial. So when they do come out of that that industry, they really need the supports with them. Mm-hmm. So the volunteers, the organizational structures, the resources. So just supporting those individuals as best as possible is really crucial.
Jeanette, so good. You talked about chains. That's so powerful, that visual for me. And I think, you know, it's interesting because these chains are unseen. So you can't target or identify someone right away as someone that's being sex trafficked. It's very underhanded. It's very psychological. It's emotional control. Yeah. It's fear. It's, you know, financial control. There's a lot of other chains. And one of them that's breaking right now with, as we said, this elevation of COVID and crisis and quarantining is mental health. There's a lot of struggle right now. I've come to understand with the people that you're working with. In fact, unfortunately, I heard that there was a suicide recently, someone had taken their own life, and that just breaks my heart. Can you tell us what's happening in the area of mental health and how it's all impacting you guys as well? Anyone can answer that one.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jessica.
Oh, okay, sure. Like, first of all, they're real struggles. And like dealing with anxiety myself, it's no joke. So if anyone tries to minimize what you're experiencing, then just know that you can validate yourself. Okay.
That's good.
Something that I mentioned before, like too many die in isolation before they physically die, right? Their spirits are already crushed. And so no one is able to help them because no one really knows what they're going through. That's why we do have to share. That's why we do have to confide in people. That's why we do have to let people know what's going on with us. I could see how the fight can seem pointless, and it's easy to fall into deep depression, right? Yeah. And there's an individual, right, that I'm thinking about, like that has experienced crises after crises after crises. And it's incredible how one person can sustain so much injury to the soul and to the body and to the spirit. But honestly, it's about coming to people. It's about like finding the right resource and sharing what's happening with you, and not trying to go through it alone.
Thank you for that. Jeanette, any thoughts on mental health right now?
Yeah, I think to just underscore the prevalence is the need for support again. And for our survivors, I think of a survivor that's in relation with right now, and she's going through a really hard time. So part of what support looks like is actually being there for the person. Yeah. Visiting them, giving them words of encouragement, helping them kind of problem solve with their situations as well, right? But it's the gift of presence that's super, super important.
I love that, the gift of presence, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And I think presence looks like support. As you said, Jess, earlier, it looks like aftercare. Can you unpack that a little bit now? I know that this is your baby, so I know you're going to light up and get really passionate, which I love. What does support and aftercare look like?
Yeah, so typically we get a referral, whether that's from someone in outreach or police or even just the general public. They'll send a referral. We'll set up an appointment with the individual or the survivor, and we'll get to know them a little bit better and then do that needs assessment that I talked about last time and develop that support plan that is, you know, really catered to what their specific needs are and their goals and their dreams. We even ask them to dream, you know, and sometimes it's hard for them. That question of like, what's your dream in like 5 years? Where do you see yourself? It can be difficult to have that conversation. But once we, you know, talk about those things and they know that we're a consistent support for them. I always say I can't promise everything, but I can definitely try. I can definitely, do research. I can definitely try to find resources. And so, so it's just building that relationship and journeying with them to meet their own goals of what freedom looks like for them.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, Jeanette, how can we, you know, I'm listening, we're all listening, and I'm super moved by all of the work. I didn't realize it was so detailed, so intentional. so well thought out, and I would say also very holistic, like all the angles of helping and restoring and getting people back on their feet. If we wanted to be a part, if we wanted to play a small part in our own way, what can we do, Jeanette? Are there ways to partner?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are many ways. I would encourage everyone to check us out on social media, Fight for Freedom, or go to our webpage, www.fightforfreedom.ca. And on there, there's links of getting involved. And so at the very minimum, you can pray, because prayer moves mountains, right? So definitely pray, educate yourself, find out what does trafficking look like in Canada? What are the signs? And that way you're more aware. And if you see, you know, red flags and stuff like that, you can do something about it. Mm-hmm. You can volunteer. We have teams in Canada, even in the Philippines, and now starting in the US, that go out on a regular basis to the places where sex trafficking and exploitation are known to happen. And they do outreach. I myself lead an outreach team. And so you can get involved in outreach. You can get involved in being an advocate for survivor care. There's admin support. We have interns. I mean, wow. You could have a business and you want to provide a place for a survivor to work or teach us some license. I mean, really, what do you have in your hand? And how can God use that? I would go to God and ask him, how can God use me? And then also donate, because Fight for Freedom, as well as many other organizations that are in fighting sex trafficking, are often nonprofits. And so we rely on the generosity of people who feel moved and want to make a difference. And our staff, we are 100% support raised salaries. And so support a staff member. It's really when you do that, you're actually a part of the answer. You're a part of the work, because you're enabling us to do what we do. So there are just endless opportunities to get involved and make a difference.
So good. Oh my goodness. I'm excited to even figure out ways that I can help in small ways. And, you know, I want to encourage people. I love what Jeanette said, guys, what's in your hand. And that's the whole idea, that you may not be able to hit the streets. You may not be able to do the physical work that these guys are doing, but by extension, you could play a really important role just by doing and donating time, energy, resources. All of it helps. All of it helps, right, guys? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was incredible. I want to thank you, Jeanette, for all of those ideas. And listen, I love what you said about what's in your hand. That really, that got me, because the truth is, I think we sometimes think we can't make a difference. Who am I in my little corner? Who am I in my, suburban life? How can I really affect change in these, grittier places? But the truth is, by extension, you know, your time, your energy, your resources, your finances, all of this helps the people who can be there, who can be face to face and doing the work. So thank you so much. And we'll get all that information in just a minute. But I want to ask you both a question. I want to shift it back to personal again, because I feel like every single person, the concept of On the Path is that we're all on this path. We're all growing. We're all learning. God is teaching by our valleys and by our mountains. The mistakes too give us great lessons. In fact, I would say more lessons than the mountaintop stuff. So let's talk about this storm that is 2020 and 2021. It's been a hard go for so many people. I can give a grocery list of all the highlights, lowlights. Global pandemic, economic downturn, businesses closing, people have lost livelihood, lost their resources. Domestic violence has tripled in numbers and rates. Sexual violence and physical violence against children also skyrocketing. There's a lot of mental health breakdowns. Then we have racial tensions. Let's add all the externals, political upheaval, natural disasters. Like, it's just, right? Like, take a breath. How have the storms of this past season How have they affected you? What have they taught you about yourself? What have they taught you about God? And what are they teaching you about others and maybe your place in the world? Anything around those things. So Jess, can I start with you? Share some lessons that you're learning about the storms that, you know, what are they teaching you?
I think it taught me that I was a lot more broken than I thought. I think I walked around thinking I was a lot stronger. And, you know, when things hit, I think especially in March of 2020, it just rocked my world. And I was like, wait, is Jesus my rock? You know, and what I did learn, though, was that, you know, God does and can work all things out for the good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Like, I remembered that you mentioned domestic violence. And so that's one of the main reasons why I'm here today, is because, like, my mom endured many years of domestic violence and abuse. And it was those times that I felt so helpless and voiceless as a little girl. It's those times that propels me today to want to fight for freedom for others. Now that I can, now that I have a voice, now that I can help. Right. So, I learned that God, he can turn the storms into a beautiful garden if we allow him to.
I love that. And have you learned anything about others?
Yeah. Like, I learned that, that we're a lot more similar than we think as well. Like that, you know, it's like we all bleed, we all get hurt, we all have struggles, and that, like, it's okay. You don't have to put up a front. Like, it's all right. And I feel like this, you know, this pandemic actually has forced people to come closer together, if anything, because you actually had to intentionally connect with others and really want to know what's going on in their life and really want to be there for them. So I learned, like, who my real people are too. Like, so Fight right. for Freedom is my fam. There's like a handful of people, I would say like five people, maybe even less than that, that I find are true confidants. Yeah. And so you got to find those people.
So good. So good. Yeah. Jeanette, what about you? What have the storms taught you about yourself, God, and others?
They've taught me that I am tenacious. I like that weed that you just can't get rid of. And just, you hit it with stuff and I'm going to keep moving forward. I mean, sometimes it gets stunted a little bit. And I'm going to cry. I'm going to have meltdowns. But with God's help, I'm going to keep on putting one foot in front of the other. And so there's strength in that. And strength doesn't look necessarily like muscles. It doesn't look like the brave face all the time. The strength comes in just choosing to just one more day, sometimes when it's just you're at your lowest. I learned that God continues to be faithful and loving, right? Mm-hmm. And honoring to those who continue to be faithful to him. But he is loving to those who don't either. Like, he is just such a loving, faithful God. And I learned that people are, like, kind of like what Jess was saying, there's more brokenness than you think that's out there. And the need to be that light and hope to other people is really strong, really strong. So
So good. Thank you so much. Yes,
well.
Please.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, one of the things that I learned about other people and myself in this time and season is that we really need to be prisoners of hope. We need to live that scripture out and to not give up on ourselves and not to give up on others, despite what they may be displaying, despite what they may be showing you, despite what they may be saying. You know, I think that just to have that hope that there's a brighter future, that God has a plan for each and every one of us, and that he is going to work all this stuff out, even if it's all ugly right now, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, just that's something that I've been trying to hold on for a while too. It's just like, I'm going to be a prisoner of hope. This looks hopeless on the outside, but there is a hope that, you know, if this person mm-hmm. is still breathing today, then God has something for them. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I love that. And if you're listening right now or watching and you've stumbled onto this podcast, or you're a regular viewer listener, you've shared it perhaps, and maybe you got it as a share. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. If you are breathing, that means you have purpose and you have destiny. God has a plan for you. There is something for you to do. And there is something for you to jump into wholeheartedly. And I encourage you to examine for those as well, as Jeanette said, just going back to that, because it's so powerful. What's in your hand? How can you make a difference? And, you know, in this conversation around sex trafficking, one of the ways you can is by donating, as Jeanette said so perfectly, to Fight for Freedom. And I'm going to just give the website, but I'm going to ask them too, other ways that they can connect. We can connect with them. Fightforfreedom.ca is where you would go to get some more information and to consider making a donation to further this incredible work. Guys, how can we track with you on social media? And do you have any events coming up that we can all be a part of?
Yeah, well, we have one event coming up in September. September 25th is our annual walk and ride for freedom. And so you can find more details on the website. And so that day you can, restrictions permitting, we will gather together in groups, or you can do it now individually. Or a few different options are available, but we're just raising awareness and funds to continue our ministry with Fight for Freedom. And so that is something that you can get involved with. It is a prayer walk, so we will be walking in various cities across Canada and the Philippines, even in the US. And so get involved in that. And there is, we just had Talent for Freedom, and Jessica could speak more about that amazing event. So there's, we have an events page. Definitely check that out and get involved with that. Jessica, you want to add some?
Yeah. So Talent for Freedom is on our website as well, the entire show. So people had to vote, but the voting has passed, but there's still a lot of talent there. And just like what Jeanette was saying, what's in your hand? People who felt like they wanted to fight for freedom through their talents, they participated in this Talent for Freedom.
Oh, so I love
there's,
that.
So yeah, they're singing, dancing. It's fun stuff. It kind of brings things light to a really tough subject, but you use what you can, and even I'm singing on there, so it's fun.
So good.
I was gonna just say, yeah, you can also follow me on Instagram. I'm still kind of new to it, but at Just for Freedom. How fitting is that, right? Just for Freedom. Beautiful. So yeah.
And what about Fight for Freedom social media account? Where can we find you guys there?
Yeah, so we're at fightforfreedom.ca as well. So I'm often just reposting what they post. So
Is it I think it's at fightforfreedom.ca. Is that correct?
It's a dot.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. Fightforfreedom.ca. Yes, that's beautiful. Yeah. Jeanette, you had something to say?
Yeah. I was gonna say Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. So the major platforms, you can find us there.
Beautiful. Fight for Freedom CA. Sounds good. Guys, listen, I got one more question before I let you go. This one is a surprise question. I ask it at every podcast, and I love that the answers have never, ever duplicated. Crazy. Like over 60 shows and all different answers. So here we go. In light of the conversation that we're having and all of the beautiful things that have been coming up, I want you to finish this sentence for me. It's time for what? And you'll just answer by saying it's time for, and let it rip. Let's start with you, Jeanette.
It's time for change. We need to stop this pornified culture. We need to change that, because that's really feeding into the whole rise of trafficking and fueling that whole industry. So it's time to change that. It's trying to change our culture.
I love that. Jess, what is it time for?
It's time for, I was going to say the same thing, but I'll change it to humility. It's time for humility. I think that it's so easy to just have everyone share their thoughts and opinions about everyone and everything, right? But to just approach matters with humility.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. And now we're going to flip it. I love it. What is it not time for? What is it not time for, Jess?
It's not time for being selfish. There's so much going on in the world. And I, though, like, we totally respect, you know, people are going through lots of hard times right now. But like we kept saying throughout the whole show, whatever is in your hand, if you can give, if you can share your time, your energy, your resource, your prayers, you know, it's there's so much more injustice that's happening in the world that we can help with. So I would say, don't be selfish with whatever God has given you, all the gifts, all the talents, all the skills, all the abilities, share them.
Beautiful. And Jeanette, what is it not time for?
I would say it's not time for judgment, not time for judging those that are impacted by the sex industry. Everyone's got a story. Everyone started off as an innocent little baby, and they didn't choose to go into or have their life unfold this way. So it's not time for judgment.
Love that. Jessica and Jeanette, my goodness, thank you so much for sharing your heart, your the stories, for giving us this beautiful insight to the hearts and lives behind the work that you guys are doing, and correcting our thinking too, about, as you said, those that started off with a different plan, perhaps, for their lives. Thank you so much. I think you guys are heroes, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of this in some way. So God bless you, Jess and Jeanette. Thank you for being on the path.
Thank you.
I want to give a special thanks to my friends, Jessica Ortiz and Jeanette Armugan, for coming and sharing with us what is on the hearts of every person who is trapped in sex trafficking, and that is safety, shelter, freedom, and a way to rehabilitate and get their lives back. And I'm so thankful that they are helping to do just that, and all those at Fight for Freedom who are making a difference in the area of freedom work for those that are trying to leave the industry. Guys, we have a lot to pray for. We have a lot to pray for. There's so much hurt, so much devastation, so many scars that these incredible men and women are dealing with. And we want to be hands to those who are doing the work to help them heal. Why don't you consider giving us a donation to fightforfreedom.ca, or find a way that you can volunteer, spend your time, spend your resources, your talents. I love what Jeanette said. What's in your hand? What do you have that you can give? It could be talent. It could be a skill. Why don't you think about it and check out fightforfreedom.ca and see how you can play a role. Guys, we can make a difference, and it is not too small. And you, no matter where you are in the world, can affect change. It's a matter of taking that step and using what's in your hand. Until then, keep living, keep loving, keep serving, and keep making a difference, guys. I'll see you on the path.
Thank you for listening to On the Path podcast with Cheryl Nemhard, brought to you by Fight for Freedom, educating, empowering, and equipping community members by raising awareness and training others surrounding the issues of sex trafficking. For more information or to donate, go to fightforfreedom.ca. Please like, download, and subscribe. This has been an Exousia Media production.